would turn out to be a very quick battle indeed.
He looks over his shoulder at his men.
I want 10 of you to ride down with me for the exchange. The rest, wait on my signal.
What's the signal?
Calls a male from within the trees.
Southern screams,
says James. The soldiers laugh and jeer.
Let's get you back to your betrothed, shall we?
Says James. He digs his heels into the horse, and my stomach drops. We descend into the valley where Sebastian awaits. Chapter 56. Want is a strange thing. If you feed it, it gets hungrier and it grows. You find yourself wanting more and more and more, your appetite never quite sated. If you starve it, it fades away. It shrivels and dies until it's nothing at all. When I was young, I wanted things. I wanted to be a lady of a grand house, or even a queen. I wanted a husband who loved me. I wanted to help my people. After my mother died, I just wanted to endure. Then one day, I wanted nothing at all. I lived like that for a long time. My life was passive, meandering, meaningless. But I am not an empty husk anymore. I want to get through this. I want to escape. I want the life in Highfell that Callum promised. I want freedom. I want vengeance. I want... You will pay for this, I whisper.
I doubt that very much, Princess,
growls James in response. Princess. The title sounds foul on his tongue. I look into the endless sky as we ride into the valley. If the stories are true, the moon herself is a prisoner, sentenced by the sun and shackled by night. We are not so different, you and I. I send the thought to her on the winds that whip my hair and stir the trees. Give me strength. Give me courage. Let me prevail. And then, there is no more time for prayers. Sebastian is waiting. He's like a dark spectre in the swaying grass, and he's flanked by 10 of his men. The moonlight paints his skin a sickly white and reflects off the threads of grey in his dark hair, which is tied at the nape of his neck. A man on one side of him is holding a box. On his other side is a large man, with scars all over his face and neck. Behind him, there is an army that vastly outnumbers the Northland's wolves, their silver star sigils glinting in the ghostly light. James pulls on the reins and we halt. Silence sweeps over the valley. Even the wind stops whispering. He dismounts from the horse and I take a shuddery breath. Before James can grab me, I jump down myself. I land hard on the grass, the force of the impact juddering up my ankle, but I do not show it on my face. Whatever my fate, I will face it on my own terms. I turn away from the Wolf King and straighten. Sebastian's lips twist into a thin smile that doesn't meet his eyes.
My sweet betrothed.
His voice is as cold as the Northland's air.
Are you well?
Nausea rolls through me. The knife James gave me burns into my outer thigh. I make a silent vow that I will use it when I get the chance. I raise my chin. Yes.
Thank goodness. I was so worried. Have they defiled you?
For a moment, I wonder what would happen if I said yes. I wonder what would happen if I told him, in front of all his men, that just 12 hours ago, I took my pleasure from the brother of the Wolf King, that he spilled inside me and made me cry out with release, that he held me in his arms and was going to take me to his home, that I love him, I choose him, I want him. My heartbeat resounds in my ears, daring me to do it.
No.
James's voice is low and gruff behind me. Sebastian doesn't acknowledge the Wolf King. It is as if he is beneath him. Instead, he looks at the man with scars who stands beside him. James tenses ever so slightly. I remember what he said about Sebastian having wolves working for him. With his wild, pale hair, muscles, and scars, I wonder if this male is one of them. He steps closer, his shadow swallowing me, and sniffs me. Do it, I will him. Tell them. Tell Sebastian I cannot be his virgin bride. The corner of the male's lip twitches, just for a moment. I almost wonder if I imagined it. He nods.
The lass retains her innocence,
he says. I frown, wondering why he lied while simultaneously cursing him for it.
A trade can be made,
says James. Sebastian flicks his wrist. The man with the box approaches.
Duncan,
says James. The blonde male dismounts and grabs the box. My heart stops, and the wind seems to hold her breath as Duncan opens it. His eyebrows raise, and he shows the contents to James. There's a white rock within it that seems to absorb the moonlight. Is it the heart of the moon, or a replica? I wonder if I will ever know. James nods, then pushes me forward. I stumble a few paces away from the Northland's wolves, the long grass snagging on my skirts. And then I am on the borderland side of this war. Sebastian, my betrothed and my new captor, at my side. Sebastian does not acknowledge me, nor does he show any indication that he means to leave. James stands just as still. A strange energy hangs over the valley, taut and dangerous.
We finally meet, says Sebastian. Your Highness.
His smile is mocking.
Aye, so we do.
James's voice is quiet, yet filled with menace.
And what an honor it is, when usually you have your men do your dirty work for you. Oh, I thought I'd make an exception for this.
My muscles clench. At the sides of the valley, James's men are readying to charge. Behind me, the air is thick. Violence whispers through the trees. I can smell the promise of war in the scent of male sweat and silver and steel.
You are a fine specimen, you know,
says Sebastian.
You do well in our fighting rings.
The wolf flickers in Duncan's eyes at the insult to his king. One of the horses drags her hoof across the earth. Sebastian's men put their hands on their swords. James merely smiles.
Is that so?
Oh, yes, says Sebastian. My gaze flits across the landscape, as skittish as a rabbit among wolves. I cannot find a route to escape. Blake was right. When the battle begins, I will be consumed within its jaws. Did I make the wrong choice? No, I could not marry James. I made my decision, and I will live or die by it. I turn my insides to stone, to steel.
Better than your mother, at least,
says Sebastian. James's expression darkens.
No, she was not made for the fighting ring.
Sebastian lowers his voice.
Although, we got our entertainment from her in other ways.
The valley holds its breath. Hate rises within me, sharp and bitter. I feel sick. How could I ever have agreed to wed this monster? James lunges at him, only to stagger back with a grunt. His eyes widen. An arrow protrudes from his shoulder. I spin around, and an archer on horseback behind me smiles. The ground shakes as wolves spill down the hillside to defend their king.
Put her in the carriage,
says Sebastian, flicking a dismissive wrist at me.
Let me finish off this savage.
Panic rises and roils over me in waves. I barely register the man who grabs my arm and pulls me back, nor James, as he breaks the arrow with a grimace that turns into a smile, promising violence.
You're a dead man, Sebastian.
James throws the arrow aside.
I don't think so.
The valley is loud with the sound of thundering hooves. I'm dragged through the men that are getting ready to fight. My pulse races. No! The wind rages around me, staring my skirts and stinging my skin. It whispers to me. It stirs the wildness within. I'm not going to die. I rip myself out of the man's grip. Something thrums in the air, an energy or a song. It flows through my body and pulses through my soul. Goddess, help me. I will not be a prisoner again. The clouds block the moon, and the valley plunges into darkness. I am blind to the surrounding danger, yet I do not fear it. The shadows seem to curl around me. They protect me. There's a murmur of voices, a skidding of hooves. Confusion rings in the air. A soft light draws my eye. Within the box Duncan holds, the white stone glows. I hear a voice on the breeze, soft and female. It is a song, ancient and in a language I do not know. Yet in my heart, I know the tune. Freedom, it sings. As if in answer to the song, or perhaps it is an answer to my prayer, the moon pushes from behind the clouds and floods the valley. It brightens, as blinding as the darkness. Ahead of me, Sebastian's eyebrows knit together, a flush of confusion on his face. James's eyes widen in surprise, then triumph. His muscles jerk. The crack of bones resounds in the night. And when he lunges forward again, he is not a man. He is a wolf with brown fur and rippling muscles and sharp teeth. There are markings on his forelegs where his tattoos are inked when he is a man. The male beside Sebastian shifts and meets James in midair, and the two hurtle to the ground, gnashing their jaws. The Borderlands army charges past me, knocking me between them. The rest of James's men have shifted, and an army of bloodthirsty wolves charge at them. Sebastian rears back, grabs my arm, and drags me away from the screams. I let him. Not because I am scared by the violence, but because the violence has fed something wild and hungry inside me. And now it wants more. I will do this for Callum, for Callum's mother and all the others Sebastian has harmed. And I will do it for me. I will do it for the future I never dared to hope for. The knife is heavy at my thigh, as Sebastian hurls me into a horse-drawn carriage. Ride! He hisses at the driver, before throwing himself in after me. Chapter 57. The carriage hurtles across the landscape. We're followed by the sound of howling wolves and the roars of battle. Sebastian settles on the bench in front of me and smooths down his breeches and dark tunic. He's the picture of calm, despite what is happening. His sword and daggers hang in his belt. Deadly, but unused, as he leaves his army to fight for him. He smiles.
My sweet betrothed, it is time we had a chat, don't you think?
I straighten and smooth down my dress. I force myself to smile back sweetly, even though violence coats my tongue. Yes, it is.
Did you spread your legs for him?
Asks Sebastian, as though discussing the weather.
Their king.
Didn't your wolf confirm I didn't? He shrugs.
If he had voiced the truth, I'd have killed you both on the spot. I can't marry you if my people know you fucked a wolf. And if I can't marry you, you are of no use to me. But I don't believe you've been with those savages for this long and not been touched by at least one of them. Let us be honest with one another, shall we? Was it their king that you fucked?
He arches an eyebrow.
Or was it the one from my kennels? The one you ran away with?
My insides harden. He makes a tutting noise, his expression cold.
Or did you think I didn't know about that?
He smiles, his eyes dark.
You were seen, you know, running away with him. Which one was it? Or did you open your legs for both of them? No matter. I'll have them both killed before long, and before tonight is through, you'll have my heir inside you, and everyone will know you are mine alone.
My blood runs cold, but I refuse to look away. The knife is heavy against my thigh, but I do not know how to reach for it without alerting Sebastian to its existence.
Yes,
Sebastian continues.
Soon, this will all be just a bad memory. And you will learn to conduct yourself better in future as my wife and lady of the Borderlands. Otherwise, you may find yourself meeting the same fate as your mother.
My insides turn to ice. My mother died of illness.
No, she was murdered.
He laughs coldly.
Oh, didn't you know?
A battle rages inside me, as vicious as the one I can hear in the distance. The demand for answers fights the demand for blood. What are you talking about?
Your father arranged it. A very particular poison.
The bright moonlight that streams through the carriage windows highlights the glee in his expression, and I know he is telling the truth. I feel as if the world is shattering around me. My father was never kind to my mother. He viewed her as a possession rather than a person, just as he views me. The thought that he killed her makes me feel as if I've swallowed the Northland winds that rattle the carriage. They rage in my chest, and I can barely contain them. For so many years, I desired his approval. I stayed silent and obedient for him. I intended to give him information about the wolves. I agreed to marry the monster that sits before me. My mother told me that we always have a choice, but my whole life, I have let others control my fate. Tonight, that changes. Adrenaline pumps through my body as we rattle along the wild terrain. I embrace it and let it feed the violent beast that is stirring within me.
I cannot believe you didn't know, says Sebastian.
If Callum was in this situation, I have no doubt he would end Sebastian in an instant. He would lurch forward and strangle him, sinking a dagger into his heart with ease. I do not have his strength, not physically. I find myself wondering what Blake would do if faced with a larger opponent. He would find another way to defeat him, using his wit and his silken words and his aura of shadows. He somehow rose high in the kingdom of wolves, became an alpha, and whispered into the ear of the Wolf King, all while being an outsider.
I'm playing a game, little rabbit, and part of you wants to play too, just to see if you can beat me.
I slip on the mask I wore for many years, the mask of a dutiful princess, an obedient woman, a prize to be won, and I hope it hides the darkness that rises within. I am glad you saved me. My voice is sweet as sugar, and it makes me feel sick. I was so afraid. Sebastian's eyes flit to mine and narrow. I was kidnapped, but no one touched me. They said I had to be kept pure, so they could trade me for that rock you gave them, and I wouldn't have let them touch me anyway. I would never let a wolf touch me. I put all my disgust at the man before me into the word.
Is that so?
Says Sebastian.
You didn't let that beastly wolf from the kennels touch you.
My insides scream. Wildness rattles against a cage in my chest. The thought that a monster such as Sebastian could call Callum beastly sets my insides aflame. I let my mask cover my rage. I would never let him touch me, I say. I lean forward and put my hand on his leg, inwardly flinching at the contact. Let me prove it to you. His eyes darken, and something cold and hungry flashes behind them. Whatever beast resides beneath his skin stirs. I see it. I want to cower away from it. A wave of lust ripples from him, and my aura seems to curl in on itself, trying to get away. I force myself to rise. I close the small space between us and straddle his lap, my dress rising up my legs and revulsion rising up my throat. I will him to keep his eyes on mine so he does not notice the now exposed blade strapped to my thigh.
We are to be man and wife soon, I say softly, sweetly.
His gaze drags down my neck, my collarbone, my breasts, leaving a trail of cold in its wake. He licks his lips. My heartbeat pounds in my ears so hard that if he were a wolf, he would know my deception.
Sebastian, I whisper.
I remember being in Callum's chambers, a silver letter opener in my hand, his hand rough and warm around mine.
Go for the throat, he told me.
In a sudden movement, I grab the knife. Before I can sink it through his pale flesh, he grabs my wrist. His other hand curls up into my hair, gripping tight. I shriek, releasing the wildness in my soul as I struggle against him. I try to push the blade against his neck. My scalp screams as Sebastian pulls my hair and his fingers tighten around my wrist painfully. He laughs. The sound is cold and dark, and his eyes flash with danger.
grew some teeth while you were with the wolves, did you?
He bares my throat to him. He bends my wrist hard, and the knife flies from my hand.
Not to worry. I've tamed many wild creatures in my time. I don't like to be teased, Aurora, especially not by little sluts like you. How about you show me what else you learned while you were being a whore to that high fell beast?
Fuck you, I hiss.
Get on your knees.
Fear and bile roll over me. The carriage blurs. I'm cold. Frozen.
I said, get on your...
Something hurtles into the side of the carriage, and the two of us are flung across the space. My shoulder slams painfully into the side, as Sebastian's body crashes into mine. For a moment, we're a tangle of limbs and shattered glass and splintered wood. My head bashes against the ceiling, then the walls as the carriage rolls. It shudders to a halt on its side. Everything is still. I fight the adrenaline that's making everything seem far away. I taste blood. My shoulder is crushed against one of the windows, and the carriage door is now above us. Long grass and jagged rocks splinter the glass. Sebastian stirs beside me, and there's a crunching sound. The knife has pierced the wood on the other side of his body. It glints in the moonlight that streams down. My pulse rages. I lurch for it, shoving my knee into his crotch. He hisses, his eyelids flickering open. Go for the throat. In a swift movement, I slide the blade across Sebastian's neck. His eyes widen. He reaches for the wound as hot red blood spills between his fingers. That is what I learned while being the whore to the Highfell beast, I snarl. I expect to see horror on his face. Instead, his lips curve into a smile that mimics the slit across his throat.
You stupid bitch,
he rasps as I lean over him.
Now you'll never know the truth. Night is spreading. It will take you all.
A manic laugh bubbles from his lips with his last breath. And then his body is still. Empty. Nothing but a grotesque and bloody statue of the monster he once was. Disbelief crashes over me. I killed him. He's really dead. Shaking, I shove the door above me and it flings open. I pull myself out of it, wood splintering my skin. Glass sprinkles off my dress when I stand. I think I am in shock, because everything feels far away. Cold adrenaline pumps through me, even though the danger has passed. I stagger over the grass, almost tripping over the dismembered wheel of the carriage. I'm in a clearing. The horses are gone. The man who was driving lies dead on the hill we rolled down. I'm alone. The moon shines down on me, and the air has never tasted so sweet. It tastes like freedom. It tastes like a future I never dared to imagine. It tastes like hope. I have just killed someone, and I'm sure I will feel something about that later. And yet, right now, I smile. Until a growl rumbles through the night behind me. I spin around. A large brown wolf with markings on his legs stalks toward me, his muscles rippling with each thud of his paws. He bares his teeth. I sigh, realizing what caused the carriage to roll over. James, I say softly, soothingly, it's okay. It's over. I killed him. His eyes flash with menace. I step back, frowning. James, what are you doing? You said... I sense the danger that emanates from him. He is bigger even than Callum. The ground rumbles with every step he takes. I do not know if he is angry I have robbed him of his kill, whether he wants to take something from Sebastian even after his death, or whether the wolf within him has taken over and just wants blood. But his eyes promise death. I release a half laugh, almost manic, as hysteria bubbles inside me. I shake my head. No, you can't do this. This cannot be the end. My hand curls around the hilt of the bloody knife. It can't be.
He growls, and I feel it vibrating through my soul. No!
Yes, he seems to say.
I turn. I run. James crashes on top of me, and the knife flies out of my grip. I scream as his teeth sink into my waist. He rolls me over, and hot blood pours from my body and paints his mouth crimson. And I'm on fire. There is nothing but pain, violence. He snarls. He opens his jaw, exposing his sharp teeth. I try to push him off me, but my body is heavy, so heavy. The life is draining out of me. My vision blurs, and I think of my mother. I wonder if I'll see her again in the afterlife. James is ripped from my body. I blink as cold air bites into me. I can breathe again, but it hurts. Goddess, it hurts! The wolf snarls. I force my head to the side so I can see. A large wolf, almost as big as James, is facing his king. His fur is tawny, and I catch the glint of forest green in his eyes as the moon hits them. Callum, I rasp. The two wolves growl as they circle one another. Callum attacks. He is as fierce and feral and vicious as I knew he could be. He tears into his brother's throat, hurling him across the clearing as though he is a stuffed toy. James skids to a halt, unearthing grass and creating tracks in the mud. The two launch through the air. They're a blur of muscle and teeth. I cannot tell who is winning. I can barely see anything at all. Dots dance in front of my eyes, and blood pools around me. James slams Callum to the ground and sinks his teeth into Callum's neck. Callum whimpers, and the sound punctures my heart. No. The wind stirs around me. No. My body is weak, but I push myself up. I grip my side, and I force myself to stand. My legs tremble. I move toward them, and every step feels like I am pushing through syrup. My skin is clammy, and my hair sticks to my face. Blood pumps hot through my fingers. I can't let him kill Callum. My knees buckle, and I fall hard. My eyes burn, and Callum whines again. I extend my arm, knowing I cannot reach him. Goddess, please! There's a flash of black fur. The moon disappears behind the rolling Northland's clouds, plunging the land into darkness. When the black wolf crashes into James, the two of them shift into men and hurtle across the grass. Callum shifts back too, and stumbles to his feet, his neck already healing. He turns to Blake, who has his hand curled around James's neck. The scars on his muscular back are vivid, even in the darkness.
Get her out of here, roars Blake. Now!
Callum bolts toward me. He gathers me in his arms. I melt against his chest as I feel his warmth and smell his familiar scent. I am going to die, but I am glad he is here with me. Holding me closely, delicately, Callum looks at Blake once more. Confused. Or perhaps he is conflicted about leaving his savior alone with his physically stronger brother.
No!
Roars Blake. Callum turns, and he runs.
Chapter 58. The air is thick with the scent of pine and darkness. Somewhere, an animal is whimpering. I push through the undergrowth toward it. Thorns snag my clothes, and brambles squish beneath my bare feet. I emerge into a moonlit clearing. A wolf the color of moonlight lies in the center, but blood tarnishes her fur. She is injured. Her foot is caught in a trap. She snarls as I approach, but I cannot leave her to die. Shh, I whisper. It's going to be okay. I prise open the jaws of the trap, my fingers bleeding and slipping on the harsh metal teeth. The wolf cries. She stumbles free, turning to face me. For a moment, we stare at one another. Don't go, I say. I need you. She turns. She flees. No! I'm plunged into darkness. Come back! The wind no longer whispers through the trees, and the moon is snuffed out.
Shadows creep through the undergrowth and slither through the grass like snakes.
Don't leave me!
I scream.
Please! I am lost. I am empty. I am alone.
The darkness swallows me. But I hear a voice in the distance.
Stay with me. Stay with me, princess. Please.
Pain crushes through me. I force my eyelids to open, but they are heavy. Everything is blurry. There's something soft beneath me. I scrunch my fingers and feel wet grass. Callum's face comes into focus. His eyes are panicked and covered in a watery film. His dirty blonde hair is tangled, and there is blood on his neck and chest. He's leaning over me, and his hand is pressed into my side.
Oh, goddess.
His voice breaks.
I'm so sorry, Aurora. I'm so sorry. I never should have left you.
You're here.
My words are weak, and they're carried away on the breeze.
I'm here.
A tear rolls down his face. I want to reach for him, to brush it away, but he is too far away. My body is too heavy. He touches my cheek.
I'm here.
I smile. He makes a sound in his throat, a sob.
You're going to be okay.
And I know then that he thinks I'm going to die. There's something important I want to tell him, but my brain is fuzzy. I cannot find the words. My eyelids flicker. The world dulls.
Stay with me, princess. You have to fight this. Please!
Callum stiffens and looks over his shoulder. A second later, someone crashes to their knees beside him.
Move aside.
A sharp male voice cuts through the darkness. Callum keeps his hand on the bite, but shifts slightly. He takes one of my hands, and his fingers curl tightly around mine, as if he can stop me from falling away.
Can you save her?
Callum's voice is small, afraid. Even though I'm so far away right now, I know that his voice should not sound that way. He is strong and certain, a warrior. He does not fear anything.
I don't know.
Blake's face swims into focus. He is a monstrous vision. His neck and chest are crimson with blood, and there's mud caked in his hair. His expression is serious, and that, too, seems wrong. Where is the mockery? Where is the smirk on his lips? I close my eyes. He taps my cheek.
Look at me.
My eyelids are seared shut. I do not want to look at him anyway.
I should have known you were too weak,
says Blake.
Or perhaps it is not weakness. Perhaps you are simply too ashamed to face me. Do you remember when you slapped me, little rabbit, back in my chambers? I was on my knees before you. Do you know what I think? I think you were angry with me because you were imagining riding my face, and you liked it.
My eyes flicker open. Shock and irritation ripple through me.
What the fuck?
Snarls Callum.
Quiet,
snaps Blake.
Do you remember when I betrayed you, little rabbit? Had you strung up in the dungeons?
Callum's growl vibrates through me, but I keep my eyes fixed on Blake's. The stars shimmer in and out of focus above him.
I used you to get what I wanted. I made you a pawn in my games. I took you away from Callum and had him locked up too. I enjoyed seeing you like that, you know. Bound and chained, defenseless, helpless. I could have done all manner of things to you, all manner of perverse things. Would you have liked that, Aurora?
Anger flares inside me, hot and wild and putrid. It pushes up my throat like a venomous snake, and a hiss escapes my lips. It hurts. Goddess, it hurts. I whimper. And my eyelids flicker shut.
Gods, Aurora!
Blake slams his hand into the ground by my head. I don't even flinch.
Get angry. Get angry with me.
That's enough, Blake!
says Callum.
I don't know what you're doing, but find another way. Get some herbs, stitch her up, just do it. Fix her.
The plea in his voice breaks my heart.
She's been bitten, Callum. The only way she survives this is if she stops suppressing it.
Suppressing what?
Her wolf.
Blake's exasperated voice cuts through the darkness that is settling over me. Callum falls silent for a moment.
What the fuck are you talking about? She's not a wolf.
Of course she is, you fool. She's a half-wolf, like me. And James's bite will either force her wolf to fight back, or it'll dominate it and kill her.
He slaps my cheek again.
Look at me. I'm not finished with you yet.
I roll my head away, unable to make sense of anything they're saying.
Aurora, damn it,
snaps Blake. He grabs my chin. Life is spilling out of me. I can feel my soul leaving my body, turning me back into the husk I was for so many years. Darkness fills my chest, and I'm cold, so cold. Even Callum's hand around mine offers no warmth anymore. My cheeks are wet, and I wonder if I'm crying, or whether it's blood. Frantic male voices fill the air, but they don't make sense.
Just do it!
Callum snarls.
Fuck, it's not medicine. It's something I read.
She's not!
She is a wolf.
I tried to focus on the men kneeling beside me. I tried to focus on what they're talking about. It's something to do with me. Something important.
What is it?
Says Callum, his voice dark.
I think I can share my life force with her, if she's a wolf.
I should do it!
Says Callum.
No, it has to be... I don't have time to teach you. Just get out of the way.
Blake.
Callum's voice is low, warning.
Get out of the way.
Blake's voice is all wrong. Angry, feral, forceful. He shifts over me, and I can almost feel his warmth. He rests his forearm on one side of my face, putting his hand on my cheek as I try to roll my head away. He pushes his forehead against mine, and he whispers something in a language I do not know. I cannot tell if it's a chant, or a prayer, or a plea. All I know is my pulse is slow, and the air is cold, and my body is draining of life. And I'm tired. So tired. If I had the strength to pray, I'd tell the goddess I'll choose to live differently if I survive this. I'll live my life fully. I'll dare to hope and dream and want. I'll stand up for myself and for others. I'll learn to fight. I'll make my own stories, rather than be the side character in the stories of kings. I'll never be shackled again. And I'll love. I'll love wholly and unreservedly. I'll love until I am bursting with it. My breathing slows. The night swims around me, dark and full of shadow. My soul aches. My eyelids close. Someone is shouting. Someone is whispering. Everything is cold. And then, silence. I'm back in that forest, in the cavernous dark. The branches don't whisper, and the undergrowth is still. There is nothing but thick, unrelenting darkness. And I don't want this. I want to live. A wisp of light flits toward me. I frown as I reach for it. My eyes jolt open at the same time as Blake's. His lips part, and he exhales.
Yes.
The muscles in his forearm clench.
That's it. Take it.
I grab onto it, whatever it is, and I feel life. It is dark and smoky and warm. I pull it toward me, and Blake slips. A low sound scrapes against his throat as he prevents himself from crushing me.
That's it,
he swallows.
Take it.
The scent of the night fills my lungs. I smell dark forests and musty parchment and flickering candlelight. I breathe it in. I pull it closer. Blake's arm shudders, and his fist curls into the earth. The sound of dripping water echoes in my ears. I taste mildew on the back of my tongue. Thunder rumbles, or perhaps it is the sound building in Blake's chest. I need it. I want it. My fingers sink into the wet earth, and I pull harder. My back arches as the wind builds around us. I see a glint of silver, a surgical knife. I see shackles and chains and blood. There is so much blood. Someone somewhere is screaming. Is it me? Is it someone else? I don't care. I just want more. Images flicker before me. There's a woman shouting. A rabbit runs across a dark room. There's the cracking of a whip, the taste of lightning. A thousand stars light an endless sky. I smell poison, blood, and darkness.
Fuck Aurora.
Blake is breathing hard, and his eyes are bright. And I'm walking through a forest. Or perhaps I'm in the church in the King's City. Only branches have burst through the stained glass windows. Vines curl around the stone columns, and weeds break the mosaic floor. It is dark, as if someone has blocked out the sun. A low growl rumbles through the space and shakes the altar. It is coming from the dark mouth of the crypt, where shadows trickle out like smoke. My footsteps echo as I walk toward it. Eyes glint in the darkness. There is something down there, and it snarls.
There you are,
whispers Blake. My gaze latches onto his. The sky is vast behind him. The wind ruffles his hair.
More.
Blake hisses through his teeth, and his body shudders. I feel him trying to retreat, and I hook my arm around his neck and pull him down. He makes a low sound in his throat, his muscles tensing beneath my fingers.
That's enough!
Callum's panicked voice sounds far away. Blake presses his forehead against mine. The wolf is in his eyes.
That's enough!
Blake is ripped away from me. I exhale, and my breath twists into the Northland sky. I am soft, weightless. I tip my head back into the grass. I feel weak, but whole. Blood no longer pumps out of my body. The pain has faded. I touch my side with a heavy hand, and it's sore, but there is no wound. Callum's face crashes into focus. Callum, I whisper.
I'm here.
He smiles softly, and a tear rolls down his muddy cheek.
I'm here. You're going to be okay.
He scoops me into his arms and holds me against his chest. I sigh again, his warmth cocooning me. I'm going to be okay.
My castle's a few miles from here.
Blake's voice sounds odd. He clears his throat.
We'll go there.
Callum looks over my shoulder and nods. His gaze drops, and his expression darkens.
Get a hold of yourself.
Blake's expression hardens.
Fuck off, Callum.
He stalks across the shadowy landscape.
You've got no fucking idea.
His voice is swallowed by the wind. Callum exhales, then pulls me closer.
Let's get you somewhere warm,
he says, before heading after Blake.
You're safe now.
Chapter 59. I'm warm, comfortable. There is something soft beneath me. I smell wood smoke and books. Male voices drift into my consciousness, but I keep my eyes shut, savoring the safety that cocoons me.
How did you get away from my brother, anyway?
Callum's voice is quiet, as if he doesn't want to wake me.
I've been ingesting small doses of wolfsbane for years, says Blake, nonchalant. If a wolf takes a bite out of me, it ends worse for them.
Callum chuckles.
hear it, diabolical wee shite. You know that?
A smoky wave of amusement washes through me, though I'm not sure where it originates from. It is strange, I suppose, hearing them talk to one another almost as though they are friends.
So they say,
says Blake.
But you didn't kill him.
No, it just weakened him enough to knock him out.
Can I ask you something?
There's no response, and I presume Blake must have shrugged because Callum continues.
The scars on your back, how'd you get them?
The same way as your pet, I presume.
There's a shift in the air.
How do you know about it?
Calm down. I saw her in the bath that time, remember?
I hear flames crackling in a hearth, and the wind rattles a window.
It's an old Southlands tradition. If they suspect you have wolf genes, they try to beat the wolf into submission.
Something Blake said earlier ebbs into my mind, but I'm fuzzy with sleep, and I can't quite grasp it.
They did that to her.
Callum's voice is filled with horror.
It seems like it.
A dark lull spreads through the room, and whatever they're talking about, I'm not ready to face it yet.
What about the scars on your front? The one near your hip? It looked nasty.
You know, it's not particularly polite to ask a man about his body, says Blake. What next? Shall we compare cock size?
It's not the size of your cock that concerns me.
Callum's tone is pointed, like a sharpened blade.
Oh, relax. I have no interest in your pet.
That's not the way it seemed. She was dying, Blake. Is that what does it for you? They say you have dark tastes.
A ripple of exasperation, of irritation, surges through me, and I frown as I push it back. I do not know why I feel this way. I'm warm and safe and comfortable.
Oh, yes. You figured it all out. My origin story. That's why I became a healer. Sick people turn me on so much.
Blake's tone is dripping with sarcasm.
I don't know why they say those things about me. If I wanted Aurora, you'd know about it.
Can I ask you something else?
Blake exhales.
What?
My father let you into his inner circle because you healed him.
Yes.
You were the one who made him sick in the first place, right? I've thought about it a lot over the past couple of years. I can't think of how else it could have happened.
What? Poison a king just so I could heal him and gain his favor? Does that sound like something I'd do?
There's a weighted silence, but then Callum huffs a laugh.
Aye, I thought as much. You really are a piece of work, Blake.
Thank you.
I hear the smile in his voice. I feel it.
It's not a compliment,
replies Callum. And yet, I think that it is.
Your pet is awake, by the way,
says Blake. Footsteps thud across the room. I open my eyes as Callum crashes to his knees beside the bed.
Rory, goddess, are you all right?
His eyes are brimming with wonder and concern and relief. No one has ever looked at me like that before, and I smile. I'm not sure how to answer his question, though. Am I all right? I was captured. I killed a man. I almost died. I should have died. And yet I feel alive. My side throbs a little, but other than that, I feel good. I touch his cheek. I'm all right. My voice sounds raw and I clear my throat. Are you? A wide smile spreads across his face.
I'm all right.
I groan as I push myself into a sitting position, resting my head against a wooden headboard. One of his hands moves across my lap, his thumb softly stroking my hip.
Goddess, I was worried about you.
I tried to piece together what happened, but my memories are distorted. Where are we? The bedchamber is modest. There's a fire crackling in the hearth. The mantelpiece creaks beneath books, small trinkets, and a decanter of whiskey. The bed I'm in is small, but comfortable. Night seeps through the window behind me. I'm not sure if I've been asleep for a couple of hours, or an entire day. Blake sits in one of two armchairs by the door, his legs stretched out and crossed at the ankles. Both men are now dressed, though Callum's white shirt is ill-fitting, and it strains against his broad shoulders. Blake has clearly bathed. His face is no longer covered in blood, and his hair is wet, while Callum has dirt smeared across his cheek and smells like perspiration.
We're at Blake's castle,
says Callum.
Safe for now.
How long have I been asleep?
Just a few hours.
You were captured, I say.
Aye.
A flicker of shame crosses his face.
I was, but one of Blake's men set me free. I came as fast as I could.
His jaw hardens.
I'm sorry I was too late to spare you from it all. Can you remember? Can you tell me what happened?
I take a deep breath as I try to sort it all out in my mind. Then I spill everything that took place since I was taken from Callum. When I tell him the choice James gave me, a low growl rumbles in Callum's chest, and the wool flashes behind his eyes. His fist curls into the sheets by my thigh.
James asked you to marry him.
Yes, and Blake persuaded him to present me with that choice. Callum's head whips around, and Blake raises his hands, though a smile plays on his lips. Tattletale. A strange ripple of amusement passes through me, even though I am far from pleased by his response.
I was trying to save her life. It's not my fault she was too stubborn to see that.
The lie just slips off his tongue, and I know it's a lie. Why do I want to laugh? This isn't funny. When Callum turns his attention back to me, Blake winks. I ignore him and continue with my story. When I get to the part about the heart of the moon and how the wolves all shifted, I feel Blake's attention on me once more. Callum looks over his shoulder again.
Sebastian really gave up the heart of the moon.
Apparently, says Blake. Perhaps he didn't know what it was.
He doesn't believe that. Neither do I. But what other explanation could there be? The thought that the moon goddess answered my prayer is too ridiculous to voice out loud.
Then what happened?
Asks Callum. I tell him about the carriage ride, and my blood turns cold. I reveal the moment when I slid my blade across Sebastian's throat, unsure of what Callum will think of me now I am a killer. I expect judgment, or perhaps horror. Instead, a proud smile spreads across his lips. I feel dark satisfaction rise within me too. Though the emotion feels like it belongs to someone else, and it tastes like the outdoors at night. When I get to the part where James attacked me, Callum stills.
He's a dead man.
Callum's eyes flash.
He's a fucking dead man. I allowed him to be king. I've stood by him for all these years, and this is how he repays me. He tries to take what is dearest to me. He tries to make you his. He hurts you. No, I will make him wish he hadn't laid a finger on you. I had no designs on the throne. I didn't want to rule. But that all changes tonight. If he wants a war, I shall give him one. I shall gather the outlying clans. I shall end him. And I shall take the throne for myself.
A surge of triumph floods through me, so strong I gasp. A strange smoky darkness twists inside my chest, unwelcome, but familiar. A laugh spills from my lips, though I'm not sure where it's coming from. Callum's brow furrows.
Princess, what is it?
I frown. I don't know. Sorry, I... What were you... Blake is watching me, and I feel it. I feel his amusement as strongly as I feel my own confusion. I recall the moment when I was dying. He offered me something, and I took it. I felt him then, too. Dark and smoky, and scented like the forest. He filled me. He was inside me. He gave me light, and I saw things, felt things, flickers of memories that weren't mine. Dread seeps through my bones. What have you done? My words are quiet and filled with horror. Callum's eyebrows knit together as he turns to look at Blake.
Oh, yes. About that.
Blake straightens the cuffs of his black shirt.
I shared my life force with you to save you. Only, it appears there may be a slight consequence.
What consequence? I hiss. Blake runs a hand over his jaw.
It seems to have created a bond of sorts between us.
He shrugs as though his words are meaningless, but they slam into me so forcefully I physically jerk back. What do you mean?
I can feel what you feel. You can feel what I feel. It's not a big deal.
Not a big deal? My blood turns cold, while Callum's entire body hardens. Before I can do it myself, Callum crosses the room, grabs Blake by his collar, and slams him into the closed door.
You piece of...
Pain surges through me, and I cry out. Blake arches an eyebrow.
Did you not hear what I just said?
He asks.
If you hurt me, you hurt her. If you kill me, she dies. And if your brother gets hold of me, then any pain he inflicts upon me will also be inflicted upon Aurora, too. So if I were you, I'd focus your aggression on him, because I stuck my neck out for the both of you, and you'd better believe James is going to come after me for it.
Callum relaxes his hold on Blake's neck, though his shoulders are still hard. Blake sighs.
Do you think I wanted this? I'm a private person, in case you hadn't noticed.
The two stare at one another for a long moment, before Callum lets him go.
You'd better find a way to break this connection.
Though Blake is acting sincere, I can taste the smoky amusement on the back of my tongue.
Believe me, this pains me more than it does you,
says Blake. He smirks. I hate you, I say.
Oh, believe me, I know.
Blake smooths down his shirt as Callum comes to sit down on the bed beside me, his jaw tense.
In the meantime, you're both welcome to stay at my castle,
says Blake.
I'll help you recruit the outlying clans before you challenge James for the throne. You won't be able to take the throne without their support.
You'll help?
Callum's eyebrows raise in surprise. I watch Blake, even if I couldn't feel the dark waves of smugness coming off him. I'd know he was plotting something. What's in this for you, Blake? I ask.
I'd prefer Callum as king, and I'm better at politics than he is. He doesn't know how to play the game.
The ghosts of our previous conversations curl around us. For a moment, I wish I could read his thoughts as well as his feelings. He turns and opens the door.
I'll see if any word has come back from my scouts. James is probably licking his wounds right now, but it doesn't hurt to be vigilant. We'll start recruiting the outlying clans tomorrow.
Aye, okay. You're an obnoxious prick, Blake, but you saved Aurora. I'm thankful for that.
Blake glances at me, and a strange feeling I cannot quite place washes over me. He shrugs and strides out into the hallway. Callum sighs.
Ah, budge over,
he says, knocking me gently with his hip. He slides his leg onto the bed beside me, pulling me into his arms.
I'm sorry I left you. I won't do it again.
I breathe him in and soften against his solid body. I don't want to be powerless again. I want to learn to fight, to defend myself. I hear pride in his voice again.
You did a good job as far as I'm concerned, but I shall teach you.
Good. I stiffen as I remember the conversation Callum and Blake had while I was dying. Am I a wolf?
It seems that may be the case.
He chews his bottom lip.
Blake thinks your mother was a wolf, the way she died. He thinks she was poisoned with wolfsbane, He thinks you were poisoned with it too for a while.
My soul freezes, and ice spreads through my veins. Sebastian said my father murdered her. Callum exhales, his expression gentle.
Aye, that was the conclusion Blake came to too. I'm sorry, Princess.
I shake my head, trying to process it all, until fear douses the anger. What does that mean? Will I shift at the next full moon?
I don't know, Princess. James's bite could have activated the wolf inside you. What Blake did might have stopped it. I don't know. If you do shift, I'll be right there beside you.
His arm tightens around my shoulder.
There's nothing to fear. I swear it.
My head sinks into the crook of his shoulder, and he pulls me down onto the mattress, stroking my hair. I sigh. You're going to challenge James for the throne? I ask. He hesitates.
I know I said I'd take you to Hayfell.
No, I say, my muscles hardening. Let's take his throne. I have just as much cause for revenge as you. I want to make him pay. Callum grins, then brushes his lips against mine.
My wild and fearsome creature.
He mumbles against my mouth. My wolf, I say as I kiss him back. Something wakes me. Perhaps it is the dull throbbing in my side where James bit me, or perhaps it is Callum's absence. I feel it instantly. There is a lack of warmth, of comfort, of safety. Instead, a darker aura pulses against my senses. I jerk upright in the covers. Wincing, I press the spot where James bit me. The room is dark, though the dying embers glow red in the hearth, and a couple of candles flicker on the mantelpiece. Blake freezes beside the bed, halfway through the motion of placing something on my bedside table.
I didn't mean to wake you,
he says. What are you doing here?
Tea.
He places a chipped cup on the bedside table.
For the pain.
I eye him warily as he straightens. I try to sense the joke, the deceit, but I feel only sincerity. I take the cup and bring it to my lips, smelling willow bark.
I can feel it, you know,
he says.
The pain.
I place the cup back down. Good.
Are you truly so stubborn?
When I merely stare at him, he sighs.
Very well. Have experienced worse.
He steps back and leans against the fireplace.
Callum is getting his people out of Castle Matta Ali,
he says.
He's worried James will know we're planning something and go after Fiona and Ryan.
Why did you do it? He picks up the decanter on the fireplace and pours a dram of whiskey.
Save you?
Yes. No. All of it. How does helping Callum get you what you want? Why capture me and plot against Callum, only to save us both? It doesn't make sense. My brow furrows. You planned all this, didn't you? I say. I stretch my mind back to earlier. I'd felt Blake's triumph when Callum said he was going to take the throne. You wanted Callum to challenge James all along, didn't you? I say. Is that why you wanted James to propose to me? He was going to send me back to Sebastian anyway. That would have been enough to make Callum fight. Blake shrugs, swirling his glass.
If James had sent you back to Sebastian, Callum would have torn the world apart to get you back. But he would have understood, deep down, why James had done it. If he'd married you, though. If James had taken what Callum believed to be his, no, Callum would never forgive him for that.
I shake my head. Why? Why do you want Callum to be the next Wolf King? And why would you bond our lives together like this? How does this get you what you want? My soul hardens, and I feel the shadowy caress of his darkness twisting around it as something occurs to me. Back in the dungeons, Blake told me he wanted to rule the wolves. Because now Callum can't kill you, I whisper in horror. You'll gather support among the outlying clans while you're pretending to support Callum.
And once Callum gets rid of James for you, once he takes the throne, you'll challenge him. Callum will forfeit. He'll have to, because you bonded our lives together. He can't hurt you without hurting me. That's what this is, isn't it? That's what this has all been about. And despite the outrage that rises like bile within me, triumph ripples through me too. Because now I know his game, I can play to beat him. Blake's eyes glint in the dying embers, and I know he feels the challenge that radiates from me. I know he welcomes it. He raises his glass, and a slow smile spreads across his lips.
Long live the king,
he says. The Wolf King was written by Lauren Palfreyman and read by Zara Hampton Brown and Shane East. This program was produced by John Marshall Media. This has been a presentation of Simon Maverick.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.